He did a commentary on the New Covenant scriptures. And he says in his commentary that Yeshua was born in the Hebrew month of Tishri. And he says in 5 B.C., but I picked 4 B.C. because, you know, there's some that say it was 4, some that say it was 5, some that say it was 6. So I kind of split it down the middle. So it's 4 B.C. We'll just say that Yeshua was born. But he said that Yeshua was born in the Hebrew month of Tishri, which happens to be the September, October time period, during the Feast of Tabernacle. And he goes on to say, which indeed was typical of Messiah's incarnation. And then he may reasonably be thought that the Word of God was made flesh and tabernacled among us, referencing John 1:14. Now he wrote this detail like 360 some years ago. So it's not just a recent thing that we've come up with to try to, you know, connect it to Messianic Judaism and the Feast of the Lord. He's a renowned biblical scholar from more than 350 years ago. So it's not a recent thought. Now, I know this may burst some of your bubbles, but December 25th, although traditionally celebrated as the date of Yeshua's birth, is not when Yeshua was born. Okay? I'm laying down the law right here. Right here. He was not born on December 25th in 4 B.C. or 5 or 6, whatever it was. There is absolutely no scriptural or extra-biblical evidence to back this up in any way whatsoever. None. Scriptural or extra-biblical. Now, the early church adopted this date as a compromise to the pagans who were coming into the faith of Yeshua the Messiah. In fact, December 25th really commemorated the winter solstice. And what is a winter solstice? It's a time of celebrating or welcoming back the sun after the shortest daylight day of the year. So when we get to the winter solstice, it's going to be a very short day. It's going to seem like it's dark when you wake up, and it's dark before you even get home sometimes. And I know that. I've lived this many years of driving to work where I got there when it was dark, and I got home when it was dark. Okay? But this December 25th really is welcoming back the sun. It has to do with sun worship. Welcoming back the sun because it's the darkest day of the year. Come back, sun. You know, here comes the sun. Da-na-na-na. Remember that? We're welcoming back the sun, where we should be welcoming the sun, Yeshua, the Messiah. So December 25th is totally of pagan origin, and it has no place in the life of true believers. I'm just telling it. Now, if that hurts you, if that offends you in any way whatsoever, and you want to talk about this in an angry manner or anything, please see my wife after the service, and she does my light work for me. Okay. So thank you, Lord. So let's delve into this a little bit here, okay? Are you ready? Good. So we're going to delve into God's Word and also some extra-biblical things to seek the truth about Yeshua's birth. All right? Y'all ready? Okay. Now, at the time of Yeshua's birth in Bethlehem, there were two great light celebrations happening nearby. There's one that's actually listed in Luke chapter 2, and the other is written in the Mishnah, which is part of the Talmud, the rabbinic commentaries on the scriptures. Now, on the night of Yeshua's birth in Bethlehem, the Kohanim, the priests in the Beit HaMikdash, in the temple in Jerusalem, were beginning to hold their special menorah lighting ceremony to illuminate the temple for the first night of Sukkot. Now, I shared some of that during Sukkot. There were four enormous 75-foot tall golden menorahs that were set up in what's known as the court of the women. And each one of these 75-foot tall menorahs, each of them had, each having four golden bowls of oil at the top, and each bowl containing over 7 gallons of oil. So there was a tremendous amount of olive oil up there. And we know from the writings of our people that the Kohenim, the priests, used their worn-out priestly garments for the candle wicks for this Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Sukkot. So, you know, when the priestly garments got worn out, maybe threadbare or just terribly stained or whatever it is, they were saved and they were used for the wicks on these giant 75-foot tall menorahs. And this light from the special menorah ceremony was so great and so intense that you could see it all over Jerusalem. You could see it from miles and miles away. It was the greatest light show of the year because it was the beginning of Sukkot, the most joyful celebration of the biblical calendar. And again, as we read earlier, God had commanded the Jewish people that they were to rejoice greatly before the Lord for the 7 days of this feast. Now, likewise, there was also another great light show going on. But this was about 5 miles away in a little area known as Bethlehem, the house of bread. Only 5 miles away from that area. God was also, at this time, putting on a light show, but this was now a heavenly light show. And it wasn't just an ordinary one. It was a light show to announce the birth of His Son, Yeshua, to all the world. And we read about that, and hopefully you have your scriptures with you. We read in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, these words. Luke chapter 2. Verses 8 through 14. It says, in the countryside nearby were some shepherds spending the night in the fields, guarding their flocks, when an angel of Adonai, or the Lord, appeared to them, and the Shekhinah, the glory of Adonai, shone around them. And they were terrified, but the angel said to them, don't be afraid, because I am here announcing to you good news. Now, this is very important here. Good news that will bring great joy. Now, what time of the year is this? Remember? Sukkot, the most joyful time of the year. They gave you a hint here, these angels here. They were announcing this. A hint. They say, good news that will bring great joy. Sukkot, to all the people. This very day in the town of David, there was born for you a deliverer who is the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Lord. And here is how you will know. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth. And again, it's believed that babies were also wrapped in the worn out priestly garments, as well as using them for the wicks, which actually is kind of cool because Yeshua was the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. So they were wrapping him in priestly garments even at birth to announce who he was. And it says, lying in a feeding trough. Suddenly, along with the angel, was a vast army from heaven praising God. In the highest heaven, glory to God, and on earth, shalom, or peace, among people, goodwill. This great celebration here was happening on the Feast of Sukkot at the time of the great rejoicing for God's people, and it was taking place all over Israel at the time, especially in Jerusalem. Now, as a side note here, Luke says that the shepherds were in the fields that night watching over the flocks. However, you know, this is actually a clue for us here. However, in Bethlehem, in December, especially as it's believed by many to be December 25th, in that time of the year, it would be freezing. It would be way too cold. And the flocks would not be out in the fields. They're never out in the fields in December. They are all kept snug and warm in their pens, but they are not in the fields in late December because it would be harmful to them and the weather would be very cold there. You know, that area is high elevation, and that time of the year it gets very cold. Even Jerusalem, which many of you might now don't know, gets snow, you know, in December. I remember just the other year or year before last, they had a major snowstorm in Jerusalem, you know, during this time. However, let's return now to this story, to the time before Yeshua was born. And let's look carefully at the events that occurred prior or months prior to Messiah Yeshua's birth. And this is going to give us now some more information as to the truth of Sukkot being his real birthday. We read again in the book of Luke about Zechariah. Now Zechariah, he was a Levitical priest. He was a Kohen. Assigned to the Bet Hamikdash, the temple area in Jerusalem. And we see in the scriptures that the angel Gabriel announces to him that his wife Elizabeth will have a special baby. The scriptures say that he is of the Levitical priestly division or order known as Avichah. We read about that in Luke 1:5 and also in verses 8 through 10. And Luke 1:5 says, in the days of Herod, king of Yehuda, the king of Judah, there was a Kohen, a priest, named Zechariah, who belonged to the Aviah division. His wife was a descendant of Aharon, of Aaron, and her name was Elisheva, Elizabeth. Now, this bit of information here may seem insignificant. You might be saying, okay, that's cool, but, well, we're going to talk about it. It's very important for determining the birth month of Yeshua. Very important here. Now, according to 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verses 3 through 5, we have to go back into the latter part of the First Covenant Scripture. 1 Chronicles 24, verses 3 through 5, it says that David, this is Melech David, King David, together with Tzadok, from the descendants of Eleazar and Ahimelech, from the descendants of Itamar, arranged them in divisions for service. And there were 16 divisions of the descendants of Eleazar, headed by clan leaders, and 8 divisions of the descendants of Itamar, according to their clans. There were assigned, in other words, there were assigned periods of service by lot, 24 in all. In other words, King David set up the priesthood into 24 divisions, so that these divisions would serve all during the year, but none of them would be burdened, so they could go back to their families and their fields and so forth. So they would serve at certain parts of the year, beginning at the first part of the year, which would be Pesach, Passover, because that's the beginning of the actual biblical year. And of these divisions, like Division 1 might serve from, say, April something to this, and then the next division from this to this. So that's important to understand. Now, it says that Zechariah was of the Aviah division. And his division would have served 10 weeks after the start of the year, of the month of Nisan or April. So 10 months into. And so that would, sometime in June or July, Zechariah would be serving in the temple. All right? In that time period, June and July, he'd be serving in the temple. Now, while Zechariah was in that inner sanctuary, we read that the angel Gabriel told him that his wife Elizabeth is going to conceive and bear a son called Yochanan, or John. You know who John is, right? John the Immerser. Some know him as John the Baptist. This was June or July that your wife is going to have a baby. It's going to be a son. His name is going to be John. And we read in the scriptures that this occurred soon after that. We read in Luke 1:24 through 25, it says that following this, Elisheva, his wife, conceived. And she remained 5 months in seclusion, saying, Adonai has done this for me. He has shown me favor at this time so as to remove my public disgrace. Actually, she was an older woman, and it was impossible really for her to conceive, so this was a miracle in itself. Now, Elisheva, Elizabeth, she was thrilled with the good news. And it says she went into seclusion for 5 months. And 1 month later, we read this. In Luke chapter 26 through 27, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city in the Galilee called Nazareth. So if you just look at the time, June, July is when his wife was conceived. So July, August, somewhere in there, God is appearing now, or Gabriel is appearing to a young maiden. And it says here, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city in Galil called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Miriam. This is Mary. And Gabriel also told her in verse 36, you have a relative, Elisheva, who was an old woman. And everyone says she's barren, but she has conceived a son and is now 6 months pregnant. Okay? So we're getting some time periods here. So she conceived around that June-July time period. It's a month later, so she's 6 months pregnant here. Then we read that after the angel Gabriel visited Miriam, or Mary, in Nazareth and gave her the news of her conception with the Messiah, she immediately went to her aunt, Elisheva, in Judea and stayed with her for 3 months, leaving just before John was born. And we read in Luke 1:39 and verse 56 and 57, without delay, Miriam set out in a hurry to the hill country of Yehuda, where Zechariah lived, entered his house and greeted Elisheva. And Miriam stayed with Elisheva for about 3 months and then returned home. And the time arrived for Elisheva to have her baby, and she gave birth to a son. So I'm going to put this all together now, this first part, okay? If we put this all together, we see that Yochanan, or John, was conceived in June or July. Miriam, or Mary, became pregnant by the Ruach Elohim, by the Spirit of God, 6 months later, in December or January, probably during the Feast of Hanukkah, because Yeshua is the light of the world, demonstrating in a very special way that Yeshua is that light. However, Hanukkah really means the Feast of Dedication, and we see that God so loved the world that He dedicated His one and only Son to die for the redemption of mankind, and during this feast. Interestingly, we see Messiah Yeshua celebrating the Feast of Hanukkah in John chapter 10. It's at this dedication ceremony that Yeshua declares in John 10:10, I and my Father are one, which testifies to His divine origin in the conception. It also reinforces Hanukkah as the time of His conception. Moving 9 months forward now, Yeshua was born in September or October. So if He's conceived in December around Hanukkah, we're looking at the time frame of John's birth and then when Miriam conceives with the Messiah, moving it all forward, conceived in December, 9 months ahead, it gives us Yeshua was born in September, October, during the time of Sukkot, the most joyful time of the year, which is also known as the Second Feast of Lights. But I'm going to stop here for this week. And we're going to continue part two next Shabbat. So if you want to hear the dramatic conclusion to this message, you're going to have to be here next week. Okay? Next week we'll hear an amazing amount of evidence that's going to show that Yeshua was really born on Sukkot. A lot of evidence to it. However, and this is important now, however, as wonderful as it may be that Yeshua was born on Sukkot, the most important thing for all of us is the fact that Yeshua was born, and he was born for a reason. And that reason is that he would die for the sins of the world and bring atonement, salvation, and redemption to a lost and a dying world. If we receive Yeshua, him as our King, as our Redeemer, as our Savior, as our shield, we can experience fullness of life here on earth and eternal life in the kingdom to come. So I'm going to leave it, but next week we're going to see an amazing amount of evidence that's going to show you, and I'm pretty sure convince you, that Yeshua was really born during Sukkot. And that's why I wanted to share this as kind of a wrap-up of all of the feasts of the Lord that we've gone through, the fall feasts of the Lord, his Moedim, his appointed time, and that he appointed this appointed time of Sukkot to allow the birth of his son to take place. So you have to be here next week, all right, to hear the second part of this. I actually did that on purpose. No. There's a lot of material. Now, even as much as I'm sharing today and next week, I'm just telling you, I'm leaving out a lot of material. That a lot of stuff, because it's just too much, and it gets down to a lot of nitty-gritty and a lot of extra things. I'm trying to keep it to two shorter messages rather than having it too long or three. So I'm cutting out some, but the most important things you're going to hear and you're going to see, okay? So I'm excited for you, because a lot of you have never heard anything like this before. Some of you have, I understand that. You've been around for a while. You know, you're not a, you know, new babes, but a lot of you have never heard any of this before, and I want to really bless you so that you get a better understanding of what this messianic faith is, the feast of the Lord, and the calling that God has put upon us, or those of us who really believe that the expression of our faith through messianic Judaism is real. And not only real, but this is authentic. And I believe this is the worship that God wants us to practice. Not the paganism that has creeped into much of the body of Messiah. A lot of paganism has creeped in. And we want to remove the paganism. And we want to bring in Yeshua as the Jewish Messiah and the Feast of the Lord, which he celebrated and he kept. So next week, be here. Invite somebody also. All right? Is that a deal? And remember, we're going to pick up the stuff real quick, hopefully real quick, and then that'll give you a couple of you a chance to, you know, take...